fine. Keep going.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Sarah, Sarah, and Lindsay from The Tipsy Ghost. What's up, friend?
Hi. Hey, friends.
Wow, that was an epic intro.
We have to hold and, like, be silent for a few seconds first, and I was trying.
It's like herding cats around here.
There was something really funny right before, and I was trying. I did not make it. Sorry, that was
keep
my
going.
Bad.
No,
that
keep
was
going.
My bad. No, that
tell
was my
us
bad.
What happened? Honestly, you know. Nobody knows.
You were making noises.
Oh, okay, yeah, that did happen.
She made no noise.
I was very silent this time.
You are this time. It takes us like two or three times before we can start because we're always making noises.
Got to clear your throats. Got to get the weird noises
it's
out.
Like, yeah, it's like when they tell you to stop talking and be quiet. It's hard, mm-hmm. but like otherwise you can sit in silence and it's no big deal. I don't know. It's being told to be quiet that I can't do it.
Right. Well, we survived.
Out. 3 seconds is all I asked.
No, I'm sorry.
Literally
I tried.
3 seconds.
I tried. Anywho's. Guys,
anywho's.
This is our episode to talk about a place that we got to go ghost hunting at.
Ghost hunting.
I think it was actually said correctly. It just sounded real jacked up. Ghost.
I'm done talking. Somebody else can talk now.
Ghost. Hunting.
Good luck doing the podcast without me for the next hour.
I'm sweating. I'm always.
This whole intro is going to be a wash, right? Like, edit this all out.
There will be no editing out.
And so
the narrator said, there was no editing.
And reader, there was no editing.
Where did we ghost hunt?
We went to the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas.
That's true.
Yes, we did.
I was there.
Yes. And this is our first place that we went to together, guys.
True
the
story.
Three of us. Yes.
For the three of us.
Yes.
This was the conception of our podcast.
Yes.
It happened
on
a two-lane road.
Right. Very close to Halloween because you guys came over to my house while I was painting someone's face.
Mm-hmm.
Because, side note, I do that for funsies. I paint faces. Mm-hmm. And you walked up and I was painting kind of a spooky face. I'm sure that laid a really great first impression.
You didn't want to go to the Halloween party because you wanted to go with us.
Well, yes. We kind of pulled her away from her existing plans to go to a Halloween party.
That's true.
Because right. We're more fun.
Well, yes. Well, here's the thing. This is kind of like a once in a lifetime-ish. It's not really once in a lifetime, but it's, you don't get the chance, let me rephrase that, you don't get the chance to go to Sally House very often.
No, you don't.
And those of us who know paranormal know that this is up there with the really cool experiences that you just have to go to if you get the chance. So when Boydston booked the tickets, she was like, whatever you're doing that night, cancel your plans, you're coming.
I did. Like, so Lindsay and I booked them overnight one night, and I was like, Sarah's got to go. I don't care what she's doing.
Right. That's exactly
I'm getting
what
her a ticket and she's going.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you did. I mean,
because look at where we are now. This is the birth of the podcast.
Yeah. It was so fun. So that was the first night I got to meet Lindsay.
Yeah.
And she walked up right up to my bedroom.
Well, rewind. So I knocked on, or I texted Sarah first and said, I'm here. And it's at the other Sarah's house, and I never met her before. And she's like, come on in. We're in her bedroom. And I'm like, I don't know who this person is.
So I'm upstairs looking over the banister. And I'm like, Lindsay, come on up. They're all in the bedroom. It's fine. And then, so here comes random girl walking into Sarah's bedroom. Like, hey.
Which I honestly didn't care. I was just more embarrassed that, like,
as you're doing makeup on somebody.
I'm sitting there painting someone's face like a skull.
Yeah.
And walks away. I'm like, hey, what's up? Nice to meet you. Cool. So this is my bedroom.
We're going to go ghost hunting tonight.
And we're going ghost hunting. Let's go.
And now we're best friends.
Cool. And now we're besties.
Yeah.
So
I feel and like now we're doing a podcast.
When you start friendships like that, like, you mean, you didn't judge me. That's just
I
who
did.
I truly am.
I did.
I like to paint skulls and go look at ghosts. I mean, that just is what
who
it
doesn't?
Is.
Right.
I mean, honestly, who doesn't? We are a special group. That is all I can say.
We are.
So lead us in, Boydston. She did all the research, bless you, on Sally House. And this was a doozy. Like I mentioned, like Sally House is a beast. It is infamous, and I feel like, in the world of the paranormal.
And I'm actually excited to hear the history because we missed the history.
Oh.
At this place because the bridge was closed.
Yeah, so let's give that little intro. We actually are lucky enough to live fairly close to Atchison.
Yeah.
So we can just drive over there whenever they have a hunt going. We can just drive by.
I don't know if people know that.
Oh, yeah,
lucky.
You're true. You're true. You're right. You true, girl.
You I'm false. True.
You false. I feel lucky that we are fairly close and we can drive over there whenever we want to. I think it's cool. So yeah, I'm like, follow me. I know the way. I'm going to drive you there. And I did. I drove them all the way there. Turns out the direction we were going from, the bridge that takes you over the river into Atchison was completely close at the time. So we got to turn around, kind of backtrack a good 40 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Then plus we had to take a little pit stop at Walmart briefly.
I had to call the lady that at the Sally house and plead our case. Like, I'm so sorry, the bridge is closed. She's like, yeah, of course the bridge is closed, but I'll see you when you get there.
And I'm like, how am I supposed to know that?
We're not from Atchison. We don't know. We were traveling.
So sorry. It was not national news.
Also, if you put it on your website, that helps a little. Mm-hmm. Or you send out a little email, like an info. Hey, guys, the one of two ways to get into Atchison is closed. So anyhow, so we meaning me, I fucked it up. So sorry. I made us late, but
so we missed the whole history of the Sally house and just went straight into the ghost hunting.
Luckily, I feel like we all know pretty well
yeah.
a good amount of history on Sally house. And that was...
Or so you think.
Oh, true, true.
Ooh, ominous.
Have seen countless episodes, documentaries. Mm-hmm. I have loved Sally house. I think it's just fascinating.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyhow, that's how we got late to this Sally. In true fashion to us as a group, we show up when we want, we do what we want there, and sometimes it is not well received.
That's true.
Sometimes somebody has to knock on the door approximately four different sets of times and then call.
And she lets us, like, in this dark house, and she's, like, hushed and whispering, and she's like, come sign these waivers. I'm like, I can't see anything. What am I signing?
Yeah. I was like, all right, whatever.
And then she split us up, and I was like, whoa.
Right, right. It set off on a bad foot in that instance. So anyhow, tell us.
Yes, let's hear.
Start it out. I don't want to ruin anything for the history. Go
history.
For it.
Okay. The Sally house. I think it's going to blow some minds.
I'm ready.
Forget everything you already knew.
Okay.
Mind erased.
Blank.
All right. The house that stands at 508 North 2nd Street in Atchison, Kansas, was built between 1867 and 1871. And it's become known as the Sally House because of the documented haunting that occurred while Deborah and Tony Pickman lived there in the 1990s. So that's what we all know.
Right.
Right. According to visitatchison.com, it was originally built at the turn of the century. The house became a residence of an Atchison physician. The front served as an office space and examination rooms, while the doctor and the family lived upstairs. One day, a frantic mom arrived carrying her 6-year-old daughter, Sally. Sally collapsed from his severe abdominal pain. The doctor diagnosed her with appendicitis, knew there was no time to delay surgery. So, believing the appendix would soon burst, the doctor began cutting Sally before the anesthesia took full effect.
Ugh.
I know. Sally's scream suddenly stopped and she grew pale and limp and she died on the operating table.
It's like, I know this, but still hearing it, I'm like,
rough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Her last memories of a man whom she believed was torturing her.
That's so sad.
Reports of Sally's haunting grew even more ominous in 1993 when the house was rented to a young couple. Their dog seemed to growl at nothing, especially near the nursery. Things began to take a violent turn. Fires broke out. Sinister attacks on the husband began. The operating area would become cold. Objects would visibly move when the young man, so Tony, came near. He would feel scratches on his chest and abdomen, but the ghost would never attack his wife or baby.
Hmm.
So that's according to visitatchison.com.
Okay.
Tony and Deborah Pickman run a site called thesallyhouse.com, and this site sets the record straight.
Okay.
So this is the true history of the Sally House. So, built in 1866 by Michael C. Finney. I'm sorry, he acquired the property in 1866 and he built the house in 1867. The family first lived in the basement while the rest of the house was being completed. So, started from the bottom. Now we're here. By 1871, the family was more than likely living in the house. In September of 72, MC died in the house at 10 p.m. He left a white wife named Kate, two sons, Richard and Charles, and a daughter named Agnes, and a son on the way.
Aww.
May of 73, Richard Edwin was born, and that's the son of MC and Kate. And then in September of the same of the following year, Edwin died in the house.
Wow.
In July of 74, Kate's father died in the house. Isn't this becoming sad?
This is becoming very sad that everyone's dying in this house.
Everyone's dying. In 1918, so we get a few years away from the death, Agnes, who still lives in the house, her husband and her are in Wyoming vacationing when her husband True, William True, suffers a stroke, and she brings him back to Atchison from Wyoming where she thinks she's gonna get him better care and medical attention. But on May 4th in 1918 at 7 a.m., he dies in her childhood home. In 1920, she starts taking on boarders to help with the living expenses. And then finally in 1939, Agnes, the youngest daughter of MC and Kate, dies at midnight in the house. And she had actually been ill for a few years.
Jeez. It's like nobody went to a hospital. They all just died in the house.
Jeez.
Right.
Spanish flu, too, just FYI.
1947, Charles, so one of MC and Kate's sons, and his wife Mildred lived there. So remember the name the Sally House came to be from a story in which a young six-year-old girl named Sally suffered from acute appendicitis was brought to the house. The local town doctor, Charles Finney, so it could be this guy, resided and he practiced. It said that the doctors, in his haste, he failed to fully anesthetize the young girl, and she woke up during surgery in terrible pain and in horror, and she died from shock and blood loss. But there's absolutely no evidence of this.
Oh.
Okay. Zero. But there is evidence of a Dr. Charles Fitty.
But not of Sally.
Mm-hmm. Not of that Sally.
I have a guess who Sally is. But keep going.
Ooh, dun dun dun. Charles is documented to have been a doctor, the mayor of Atchison, and maybe a thief. Oh. So on October 20th of 1887, Charles and a man named W.S. Anderson got into a fight over $3. Sorry. Anderson, I know.
I mean, it probably was worth a little bit more back then, but still.
All right, let's go with 50.
Yeah, still.
Yeah. Yeah, 50 sounds right. Anderson accused Charles of stealing the money from his sister-in-law. Charles hit Anderson over the head with a heavy cane several times. Like you do.
Oh, damn.
And then Anderson's father pulled out a revolver.
Oh.
But right. Was, quote, prevented from using it.
Okay.
So
that's probably for the best.
Yeah. Neither side pressed charges because they had something on the other. So they just decided to let sleeping dogs lie.
Okay.
Fun fact, when Charles was a young man, he was an expert swimmer and an expert skater, including figure skating. He held the skating championship of a wide area, and he frequently dressed as a girl skater and appeared on the ice as Miss Colby of Baltimore, skating so gracefully that few spectators knew of his identity.
Interesting.
Whoa.
He also held the title as roller skating champion of Atchison.
What a title to be held.
Charles Finney was quite the man.
It's pretty cool.
A man of many titles.
Yep. Let's move on to 1948. Dick Mize and his family moved into the Sally House, and they lived in the house for just a short time. One of their children was actually named Sarah Sally Margaret Mize.
That's actually a nickname for Sarah. Did you know that?
That Sally is a nickname Sally for Sarah? Sally
is a nickname for Sarah.
I didn't until just doing this
research. Shouldn't, by definition, a nickname be shorter than the actual name?
It should be, but it is. I'm telling you, it is a nickname for Sarah. Anyways, proceed. I've just known that.
I've never heard that.
As of this research, though, Sarah's still alive. So that's not the right Sally either.
Hmm.
How about that?
In 1950, it was vacant. In 1957, a man named Roscoe Cook and his wife Henrietta lived there. In 1958, Ethel Anderson, so remember Miss W.S. Anderson?
Yes.
He had a wife named Ethel.
Okay. I'm trying to follow you here. Can you draw me a family tree? Or genogram?
Oh, my.
Mr. Anderson.
Okay.
And Ethel Anderson were husband and wife.
Okay. I'm following.
Until...
Uh-oh.
They got a divorce.
Aww.
So Ethel filed for a divorce in 1945, citing gross neglect of duty. Which, tell me what that means.
I know what that means.
What does that mean?
We know what that means.
She's not satisfied. She's not happy.
But it's funny because it's in 1945, like a woman's filing for divorce.
All right. Who didn't turn off their phone?
It's this.
Oh, it's okay. Her laptop. I was like, my phone's on vibrate.
I was just kidding.
But think about it. 1945, the wife files for divorce for gross neglect of duty.
That's pretty unusual during that time, isn't it?
It is. He was actually a doctor of athletics at Student Health at KU.
Oh, okay.
And she was a dean of nursing.
Oh,
or look at that. Maybe a director of nursing.
So she had a career in everything, apart from him.
She did.
That's awesome.
So she lived at the Sally House.
So she kept the house and he left.
Mm-hmm. She ended up moving in after Charles and his wife moved out.
Okay,
gotcha. And she moved in 1958. At one point, their daughter, Liz, lived with Ethel. And it was during this point that a mysterious fire broke out in what is now known as the nursery. But the nature and cause of the fire is never discovered.
Hmm.
In 1990 to 1992, there was a Bobby and Colleen Humbard that moved into the Sally House, and their daughter Heather played with an imaginary friend.
That's never a good sign when a kid is playing with an imaginary friend.
So their daughter Heather is playing with an imaginary friend named Sally.
No, never a good sign.
Oh, boy.
Watch any horror movie. As soon as your kid says, hey, Mom, I have an imaginary friend, be like, burn the place down.
It's over. Time to leave.
Right. So... she later identified a drawing that Tony Pickman made as being her friend Sally.
Mm.
Mm. Right?
Is that the picture in the kitchen?
I don't know. Colleen often found her daughter's toys strewn all over the bedroom floor. When she came and addressed her daughter about picking up the toys and putting them away, each time she played with them, her daughter replied that she didn't play with them, that it was Sally.
It sounds like my kids now. They blame each other.
Oh, I was like, oh, God, this is terrible.
They don't have an imaginary friend, no, but I'm like, hey, pick this up. They're like, the other one did it. And I'm like, dude.
At least they're real people.
At least they are real people.
Colleen Sally assumed that her daughter was talking about an imaginary friend and in turn thought that her daughter would eventually grow out of it.
Sure.
And she and her daughter moved from the house a few months before the Pickmans moved in.
Sorry about that.
Her daughter has not spoken of Sally since. What is going on?
I just had a little burp. I tried to do it away from the microphone.
Okay.
Sorry, Siri didn't hear me, so thank God.
She didn't hear you, but we made eye contact. It was a little weird.
I always look at her because she judges me when I burp.
I did not judge.
Yes, you do. It's fine. Still love you. Okay, anyways, I'm ready.
Sorry, continue. We'll listen.
Continue.
I'll just repeat everything I just said.
Sorry.
Colleen assumed that her daughter was talking about an imaginary friend and in turn thought that her daughter would eventually grow out of it.
Sure.
She and her daughter moved from the house a few months before the Pickmans moved in. And her daughter hasn't spoken of Sally since the family moved out of the house.
Oh, so Sally lived in the house, but not with her.
In 1992, Les Smith Jr. and his brother, they both live in Atchison.
Uh-huh.
They purchased the house, and he's the landlord of the people that rented afterwards. So, in 1992, here's where Deborah and Tony. Deb and Doni.
I don't even know what you were saying at that point. I was like, what kind of a name is Doni?
Doni's his nickname.
It's short for Danielle.
It's their ship name.
Their ship name.
Doni. That's when they rent and live at the Sally House as renters.
Mm-hmm.
Doni were a young couple.
I can't take that seriously.
They had been recently married and expecting their first child in June.
Okay.
The first strange thing they experienced is that their normally quiet and friendly dog barked fiercely at the threshold of the nursery.
Ooh.
And it subsided about a week to 10 days after it started. And the cats seemingly followed with their eyes something that flew over their heads often.
Nope. Animals and paranormal stuff, like,
hard pass.
Ugh, terrifying. It freaks me out.
They installed a ceiling fan in the living room with it had lights on it as well. And they would be sitting on the couch watching TV, and the lights would just dim. They would open the windows and turn on the fan, and while the lights were dimming, nobody would be by the switch. And also, it's not a dimmer switch. They had the light and the electric checked out by an electrician to rule out bad wiring, but there weren't any problems found.
Smart. So smart.
The light continued to dim. No other lights, nor the TV or the stereo changed at all. Nothing on the same circuit fluctuated. Nothing else was affected by whatever was causing the light or on the fan to dim. Tony commented, "It's probably a ghost." Okay. Fun fact.
Downey.
It probably was.
Downey, you were right on
Spoiler
the
Spoiler alert.
So while vacuuming, the wind-up musical above the crib began to turn on and play music on its own. Electrical musical toys would often take on a life of their own and emit sounds, hums, and even distant-sounding voices.
Hard pass there. Nope.
F right off.
When their son was born, it's a constant battle to get to sleep. He would wake up at least hourly, and it would sound like somebody was waking him up to play with him.
What the hell does that mean?
Play, like, somebody,
hey, baby, you want to play?
Well, yeah, somebody wants to play with
him. It just, he would wake up as if he was disturbed from his sleep.
Oh, so he was okay. Mm-hmm. And then somebody was like, nudge, nudge.
Right.
Time to play.
This is awful.
At other times, electrical items would turn on by themselves, or if they were on, they would just turn off suddenly. The neighbor said that the nursery light was on at all hours of the night, even though they knew that they turned the lights off.
Oh, wow.
There was an occurrence where stuffed animals were found in a circle in the middle of the floor in the nursery.
Oh, hard pass. Hard pass. The hardest passes to that. Like, kids' toys, ugh. Anything kid-related, ugh. No.
When taking a set of pictures, some came out normal, but several came out with blurs, especially in areas near the baby. A psychic was called in and claimed to speak with a young girl named Sally, instructed the Pickmans on how to interact with her and her favorite corner in the nursery.
Ah, we talked about this.
Soon found candles lit, strangely melted candles, candles with burnt finger marks on them. Pictures were turned upside down. There's lots of activity via photographs. Debbie would get Sally a doll and wrap it up. And then later she would see the wrapping paper still intact with the box, but the doll was outside of the box.
Oh, what? That is, nope.
And then Tony saw a little girl in the kitchen as he was getting a drink of water. He dropped the glass and looked down as it shattered, and then when he looked back up, the girl was gone.
Oh, wow.
And that's when he drew a picture of the girl that we all now know as Sally, the little girl with the brown curly hair. So at a Christmas party, a guest noticed smoke and flames coming from a mop head doll in the nursery.
Wait, so they're having all this activity in their house, and they decide to throw a party in their house for Christmas?
I mean, Santa's gotta come.
I mean...
So they extinguished it in the sink.
Ugh.
And they think it was because... So at the Christmas party, Santa came and gave all the little kids gifts.
Uh-huh.
Sally didn't get a gift.
Oh.
And after Sally didn't get a gift, that's when the fire started.
So they think Sally was...
Sally was just pissed.
She was pissed. She was like, listen here, guys, I've made it very clear that I'm here.
Yes. The haunting would scratch his body, cause nightmares, and later a demonic possession.
Oh, okay.
So in an attempt to get help from the haunting, the Pickmans invited numerous psychics to the house, and the TV show's sightings...
Yes. I don't think I've heard of that one.
I have heard of that one.
Oh, okay.
And but I thought it was all about aliens. I was wrong.
You were.
Okay.
It happens. It's okay.
Sightings.
In one episode, psychic Peter James concludes that a ghost named Sally was responsible for the haunting. James believes that Sally died from acute appendicitis at the hands of Dr. Charles Finney. The
so
Pickmans.
Story.
Yeah, it came from this psychic Peter James.
Okay.
But did he know about this possible?
No.
Okay.
This is where the story originated.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
The Pickmans, after living at the house for 2 years, eventually moved out from the house, and they just needed to remove themselves from the haunting.
Sure, so I understand.
After that, the Fish family rented and lived in the house, finally moved into the house in 1995. The family consisted of a mother and 6 children.
Ugh.
The family didn't come out.
I'm saying that because it's like a 2-bedroom house, guys. Like, it's a tiny house.
It's a 3-bedroom house. It's actually kind of big.
Okay. Ugh. Okay, snob. I said that because it is a little house. It felt little to me, maybe because there's so many people there. So I'm thinking of 7 people.
I mean, think about those bedrooms, though. Like, besides the nursery, those 2 other bedrooms were kind of big.
I mean, yeah, but one was the... Okay. Fine. Sorry for my disgusted noise. I just thought of it as a small house, and I was like, 7 people in that small house. That's a lot of people.
Yes, it is. It's just your noise was hilarious.
Edit that out.
No.
Nope.
The family didn't come out and report any activity, and when approached by a show, the crew was invited to the house, but not allowed past the front room. One family member did speak after they moved out and suggested that there was activity. Several neighbors at the time of the residency that the Fish family lived there reported that several very young children of the family were often playing in the front yard unsupervised. The grass in the front yard suffered greatly and eventually became dirt, because apparently that's a crime. There seemed to be several male visitors coming and going. The family was very loud. The children often looked unkempt. And the saddest thing is there were at least 2 puppies killed in the street by local traffic because they were unsupervised and left to roam.
Rude!
I know. So the owner, Les Smith, reported that when the family was asked to leave, some major components of the house, like the downstairs carpet, the majority of the rungs on the stair railing, an electric line, the sink on the first floor bathroom, all had to be replaced. He wouldn't go into detail, but he did say what he found in the basement shocked and angered him.
That's intriguing.
Right. He gathered all the belongings the family left behind and threw out what looked like a cauldron and maybe some other witchcraft-looking items.
Interesting.
However, this story sounds kind of familiar to that of the next family. So in 1999 to 2001, the Liggett family lived in the Sally house as renters. So it's reported by her daughter that there was some strange and frightening non-physical activity. The family lived in the house for a few years before 2004, and they were the last family to occupy the house. It's known that Miss Liggett lived in the house with, and her daughter and her husband and their children lived in the house with her. So Miss Liggett was reportedly a nurse working at the Medical Lodge of Atchison at the time. When contacted by the Travel Channel about haunted locations, she agreed to let the staff film in the house, and she was going to let them interview her. The Pickmans had been invited to join the team and be interviewed in the house as well. But at some point just before the interview, Miss Liggett refused to let anybody in the house if Deborah was going to be present. So both Tony and Deborah conceded, and they were just interviewed in their own home. And when the film crew and the psychic arrived, they were just allowed in the front room. And the couch was put in an area where it was blocking off the dining room and the area behind it, with just an opening for one person to stand. And Miss Liggett stood there so that nobody could come by.
Was this when Ghost Adventures came through? Is this the Travel Channel Ghost Adventure stuff, or is it different stuff?
It doesn't say.
Okay, just curious.
The film crew and the psychic reported that Miss Liggett repeatedly denied any paranormal activity. The psychic asked about witchcraft in the basement of the home, and she denied that as well. The psychic asked about the pentagram in the basement and asked if she could go see it, and she denied this and quickly jumped in front of the psychic, who was aiming to pass her and gain access to the rest of the house. The film crew just left with very little film or information for their effort. During a surprise visit by Les Smith, the homeowner, for maintenance, he discovered a large pentagram on the floor of the basement, an altar, a large black kettle, a black robe, and other disturbing items, and Miss Liggett was asked to leave.
What?
So everything was put out with trash, and it was collected the next day.
Okay. Interesting. Weird.
Les Smith also noted that the carpet smelled like urine, and he was forced to rip up all the carpet in the house.
All right, animals.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe, what I'm thinking.
Maybe they had some pets.
And how sucked. Old is this house? I mean, maybe it was meant for the carpentry place anyways.
Maybe. In 2005, at a funeral, Miss Liggett refused to speak with Deborah in regards to her present during the Travel Channel's visit. Years later, the daughter recounted a night when she was sleeping on the floor in the living room. She said she woke up in the middle of the night feeling uncomfortable and turned over to see what she described as a grotesque and gaunt, dead-looking individual, not only lying next to her, but staring at her.
Whoa.
So, with the two similar stories, it's unclear which, if not both, are true.
Yeah.
But it brings to light the idea of witchcraft and potentially a source for the reported demonic activity.
Hmm.
No, thank you.
I mean, I'm still a hard no on all of this.
Yeah. 2004 to current. For the most part, the house remained vacant and paranormal investigators have been allowed to do research. So there's also a report in the city, a Sally Isabel Hall in the early 1900s. Although Sally, the one that was identified by sightings and others, is usually white, this Sally Isabel Hall is not. She was a black woman who had been married for 16 years and during that time gave birth to 14 children.
Whoa, girl. Only, so not like a little girl who needed appendicitis.
No.
Wow. Yeah.
Only two of her children outlived their mother, and a third child, Claudine, lived only 2 months past her mother's death.
Wow, that's incredible. 14 kids?
14. Claudine. Yeah, Claudine even shares her mother's grave, and the grave remains unmarked.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty crazy. So according to luminol tests that have been conducted in the house, there's evidence of blood spatter in the master bedroom closet.
Oh, okay, that's creepy.
The luminol even found demonic sigils.
What?
Like signs.
Oh, how about, let's go with signs.
Signs.
Okay. On the walls.
Don't look at me.
Markings on the walls.
Okay, there we go.
In 2012, a bloody sweater was discovered in the attic.
Oh.
What?
Right. Hard to believe that would have been left there for that many years, as many years as this has been going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's everything with the history that I could compile. It's
Find out whose blood was on the sweater? Like 2012, that's recent enough to do DNA analysis.
They were like, this looks terrible, we're gonna throw it away.
I have no idea.
Oh man.
There's a lot of people that have come through this house. There's a lot of people that have died in this house. There's some Sallys.
There's a few Sallys.
But nothing that can be confirmed.
Nope.
So this house is possessed. But they don't know by who. They don't know why.
Wow, good job. So, thank you, by the way, for doing that history. That was really good.
Was you did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you for being so patient during all of that.
That's what I'm known for is my patience.
If not patient.
Patient and never distracted.
Gosh, I butchered that saying. Forget everything I said.
Oh, those two words, those two things go with me. For sure.
Patient
and never distracted.
Never distracted.
Anyways, you did a great job, and you were right. There are lots of things that you talked about that I was unaware of.
Yes.
So you nailed it. Okay. Let's start getting into our own experiences.
Yeah.
All right. So let's let's go back and remind everybody that we took a nice journey. To Atchison, we drove there. And actually, that's where this podcast was born.
Yes.
On a two-lane road. I'm pretty sure we were going up a hill. We could have been going down a hill.
Your memory is way better than mine.
There were rolling hills. That's what we're
rolling hills. Mm-hmm. And we said, we should start a podcast because I was going over this history.
Pre-Walmart.
Pre-Walmart, yes.
Yeah.
We made the Walmart pit stop. We got there, knocked on the door four separate times. Four separate, knocking.
Waiting in between.
Yes.
No answer. Finally called 1,000 times and they answered. So
we came in, we signed the waivers, then we were separated.
Then she immediately said, okay, you go here, you go here, you go here.
I don't like that.
I think for the sake of keeping things less confusing, instead of talking about our own experiences in the groups, maybe we should just talk about them room by room. And then give our experiences what we had. So I think what we should start with maybe is what I wrote down as top floor. Also known as upstairs.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
That is what it is known as.
I like to come up with just different words. You know, top I like floor. To keep it.
I mean, if you're going level by level, I get it. I get it. The top level.
It's so high. It's the top floor.
We are on the top. Top floor.
Started at the
top.
That's where we were. That's where we're going to start. Okay. So picture this, the footprint. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Blueprint.
I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Okay. The blueprint of the house. And I'm going to explain it poorly. As you walk in the door, there is a staircase right in front of you that goes to the top floor or the upstairs. And then off to the right is the living room. A little bit further back is, I think, just an extended portion of the living room.
To the right of the top stairs?
No. Okay.
On the main level.
On the main level.
I get ya.
Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes.
I just wanted to see. Okay. I'm picturing it as you walk in. You see the stairs going up. And then just off to the right is the living room.
Oh, we haven't gone up the stairs. Okay.
I'm not gone up the stairs yet.
You're at the base of the stairs.
Right.
So you see the living room to the right, and the dining room's kind of part of that, and then there's the kitchen right behind it.
Hidden. Yeah, you can't see it from the front door. It's kind of tucked back behind there. Okay.
And then the basement leads down from the kitchen.
Correct. So just so everybody's on the same page of where we're going. Okay, so we're going up to the top floor. Okay, when you walk up the stairs, there are three rooms in the upstairs. The first one that you run into on the left, which I have labeled kids' room, and that is driving boys to nuts. So we're going to call it nursery.
The nursery, which yes. is technically a kid's room. But I digress. I'm the mediator.
They're both right. But I think in all of the descriptions, it's called the nursery. So that is probably what I should refer to it as. So let's start there. That's where my group was. When I came in, they were all sitting in a circle. I got to join awkwardly, stepping over people in the dark. Pardon me, excuse me. But by the way, this room is tiny, tiny, tiny. And there are just toys everywhere. And people sitting in this tiny ass circle. And I'm like, excuse me, pardon me. Coming through, I'm late. And I'm sitting crisscross applesauce trying to join in a weird, I think we were doing the
Circle of Trust.
I don't know if it was Circle of Trust at that time. They were doing the, they were doing the sweep,
Spirit Box.
I wrote it down. Thank you. It was the Spirit Box session at the time when I came in.
And were you guys getting anything on the Spirit Box when you were there?
We might have gotten a few things here and there, but like I said, I was kind of like awkwardly joining in.
Yeah.
Last minute, so I was trying to just blend in with the cool kids. I was like, hey, don't look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk.
I totally understand that.
Yeah.
It's what I do every day.
We did ask a whole bunch of questions. I was trying to like kind of feel out the group.
Did you ask if there were any, if they liked having visitors?
That is,
I left that for you.
Okay. That is her signature question.
I left that for Boysden because I know how badly you like to ask that question.
So do very
you,
badly.
Do you like having visitors?
That's my thing.
Did you guys have any experiences in the nursery?
So my experience with the nursery is because I was at a separate place. I started at the main floor.
No, you started at the basement. I started at the main floor.
Okay. And then we came up to the main floor.
Yeah.
Anyway, so from the main floor, whenever there was two of us that broke off from the group in the main floor and we went up to the nursery and we sat there and she had, this other girl had dowsing rods.
Your favorite.
Wait, we're in the nursery?
Yep.
Oh.
She was using them and she was having... She was having a little bit of success.
Your kitty is like nudging my legs, and
I love it.
Trying to be very.
I want it to love me.
Come just here, be calm.
Me.
He's probably going to jump on your lap.
I'm
he's
being very calm.
A very social kitty cat.
Okay, go see Sarah. Sarah loves you. There you go.
See,
go
look
see
how
Sarah.
Nice he is.
I'm not sweet saying boy. He's not nice. I'm just saying he's making me nervous because he's
why?
Nudging my legs.
Look, he looks like an awkward teenager.
I am nervous around cats. Okay.
Okay. So, nursery.
So she was doing the dowsing rods. We were just asking questions. We were sitting and playing with the toys to see if the spirit would like that and would respond to the questions with the dowsing rods or EVPs. She asked if the spirit would like any candy, and it gave a response on the dowsing rods, and so she left it a piece of candy. I also got some pictures in the nursery with some weird anomalies that we can post on the Facebook group.
We 100% should. Yeah. Those are some good pictures.
They're like creepy pictures.
Honestly, too. I didn't even know that they looked like that until tonight when we were looking through.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we weren't with you during that time. He'll kiss you.
Hello. Would you like a smooch?
He gives kisses.
This cat.
He's a sweet boy.
He's such a sweetheart.
He kissed me on my lips. My God.
But yeah, we hadn't seen the pictures because we weren't with you. We were separated at this time. And there's some pretty creepy pictures on there.
Yeah. So lots of those. It didn't really give me a vibe.
No.
But I was... I don't know. There's not really much else to say besides the pictures and the responses she got with the dowsing rods.
Yeah. And I did not go to the nursery the entire time I was there. Mm-hmm. The only time I went upstairs was when we all were as a group up there. Oh, yes. And we were in the master bedroom.
Yes.
Yes. So that was the only room I was in besides like the hallway upstairs. So I missed that.
Well, the other room up there, which I don't know what to call it other than the back room. There was a corner room, like when you walked to the top.
Spare bedroom.
Sure. Perfect. She's much better with words than I am. You walk to the top of the stairs, the nursery's on the left. And the spare bedroom was in the back right corner. And there, again, there wasn't really a whole lot going on, at least for my group in there. We went in there, stuck around for a little bit, but then we moved pretty quickly.
Yeah, I went into, with the same girl, I went into that guest room, if you will. I sat in the rocking chair because I like to sit in all the forbidden chairs.
Forbidden chairs.
And we did just a quick session. We didn't really get many responses. I took a few pictures and didn't see anything really on the pictures. Not much activity in that room.
Yeah. I agree. So we moved pretty quickly. Let's talk about the
to the
master bedroom. Yeah. With the wicker.
It's got furniture. A chair for Sarah to sit in.
It does. What's the story with that chair? Did somebody say it was haunted?
We were all just like sitting around, so the entire group, like we were all one big group, was sitting upstairs. Because one thing we didn't mention about this house, it's a smaller house. You can hear everything. Like, that we would be true. In the basement.
It's tiny.
And you could hear people going up and down the stairs. Yeah. You could hear people moving around. So it was really hard for any groups, when we tried to split off into groups, to hear something and be like, oh, was that something paranormal? Yeah. Was that just a group? So she gathered everybody upstairs, she being like the tour guide, gathered everybody upstairs. So we were all in one spot and did a couple EVP sessions. And we were in the master bedroom because there just wasn't enough space for everybody. So we were overflowed in there. And she said something about the chair in there, which was like a wicker rocking chair. It was all wicker furniture. And said something about how they don't like it when you sit in that chair. And you're not supposed to sit in the chair. So what does Sarah do?
I sit in the chair.
She goes and sits in that chair right away. Yes. Yeah,
not me. I was following all the rules.
She goes and sits right in that chair and is just sitting there, and you didn't feel anything.
No.
Yeah. Nothing really was going on during then, and I didn't really get any, I mean, I wasn't getting any sensations of anything upstairs either, but that's not unusual.
I wasn't either. You know, the closet was supposedly haunted as well. I mean, the whole house is haunted, but there was the closet specifically. I remember them talking about having a lot of activity, and I think you spoke to how there was some luminal
blood spatter in there.
Blood spatter, yes. In this closet, and it was a pretty big closet.
It was
For that size of a house, yeah. Anyways.
Right.
But we were like fully in there. We were in there.
We were in there.
We were in multiple there. Times, and that might have been where I snuck a swig or two.
Of some wine purse.
Somebody thrusted a bottle in my hand, and I might have drank
thrust.
Out of
it. What? What? I don't know who. It was a spirit
who
happening.
Who was carrying the wine in their purse? Was it me?
# spirit thrust.
Possibly.
It was Lindsay.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, no, we didn't feel anything upstairs.
That's true. I did not. I did not feel anything up there.
No.
Okay, so let's... Really, the whole upstairs, other than the nursery, there was like a little bit of weird vibe in there.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, I think we can all safely say that none of us really got anything else
right
upstairs.
So at this point, we were being a tad bit disruptive.
What?
And so...
By we, she means her and the other Sarah.
Yes, because you were sitting in the chair.
Rocking.
And it was just because people were asking questions, and there was just so many people, and we weren't getting anything, and so we were wanting to go to the basement, because the basement is supposedly the most haunted. And I had been down in the basement before, you had been in the basement, Boydston, but Sarah had not.
Correct.
And so we all wanted to go down to the basement together, and finally the tour guide was like, if anybody wants to go to the basement, they can.
Well, let's tell them what really happened.
Okay. So.
Right.
Sarah.
My true colors.
She wanted to go to the basement, and that's true. This was bullshit.
Okay. All right. Let me explain. I have been looking forward to going to Sally House for so long.
Yeah.
I have like built it up in my head. I know about the basement. I want to go there. And my group was not going to the basement. So I said, this is some bullshit.
And not enough for everyone to hear.
I was pissed. And then I hear, if any groups would like to go to the basement on their own, feel free to do that now.
And okay. I'm like the most passive person you'll ever meet. And so I was just like so embarrassed that she called us out like that. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And Sarah just stands up and goes, fine, let's go.
Oh, I was better than that. I said, okay, thank you.
Yeah, you were nicer, yes.
You were nicer, but you still stood up in front of everyone.
Well, hell yeah. There was a tiny ass hallway, and there are probably 40 people jammed in this house.
Yeah, it was crowded.
And we're all trying to do this weird spirit box session, and I was like, although I like spirit box, I am not into passing the spirit box. This is one where we were asking the same question.
It was a circle of trust, and
it was 40 people, and I was not feeling it. I was mad.
So explain what the circle of trust is.
Okay, the circle of trust is where you literally just go around, and the first person starts it off. Hello. And they ask one question, and then the entire circle asks the same question and waits in between and hopefully gets a response on the spirit box. The spirit box sweeps with radio frequencies, and then apparently you can hear voices in between this sweeping. Most of the time you really hear nothing. It just sounds like gibberish.
I don't feel like we had any responses to any of the questions.
And I wasn't feeling anything up there. I was getting frustrated. Because I knew we just needed to get to the basement.
Right.
I just wanted to go to the basement. And they had already been there, and my group, because we were kind of late, we're not going.
Oh, you know what we were doing? We were doing that one where it just projects words. There was no sweeping. It was just the words.
Yes, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, hey, it's Sarah. I'm editing right now, and I'll be interjecting just a few times as we insert our audio evidence into the episode for your listening pleasure. The first thing you'll be listening to is the Circle of Trust, and it's my circle of hatred because I really am not a fan of this particular activity. And you can see why. You can come up with your own conclusion. If you like it, then great. If you would want to stab your eyes out like I did, then we're on the same page. And it's going to lead right into the audio of Sarah being disruptive. And I find this hilarious. I know she's going to think it's cringy, but she is my hero for getting us down to the basement where we, as you will soon find, got several really compelling pieces of evidence, both audio and visual. And I mean, I think it was all totally worth it. Also, there's a random cat meowing and howling in this upcoming clip. And I distinctly do not remember a cat being there. So, I'm a little confused about it. Was there a ghost cat and I didn't know about it, or I don't know what happened. So, you know, you let me know. Ghost cat, regular cat, Sarah, Lindsay, do you guys remember a cat? I don't know.
What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color?
Jump.
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color?
Hair. What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color?
Frightened.
Were you frightened on both? Is it Paul? Oh, this little boy.
Really?
That's what I would call him as well.
Cage.
Cage.
Are you frightened?
Sorry.
Are you frightened, Paul?
Removed.
Can we remove some of the people?
Sit? Yeah. I want to go to the basement. I keep saying that. I want to go down there.
Is that your favorite bear? He wants to talk to you?
I want to go downstairs. I did say that 3 times. They don't want to take me downstairs.
Whoever half wants to go downstairs. Girls in the pocket, if you guys just want to go to the basement, then.
Yeah.
We'll get like half the group.
Yeah. Let's go. So,
but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Moral of the story is the three of us went down to the basement alone, and the whole rest of the group stayed upstairs.
Yeah.
Which, looking back, is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
That we got to go, and I'm so sorry that I embarrassed everybody, and I'd like to issue a formal apology to this group for being a total jerk face.
but mean, it worked out really well.
It worked but out in the well end,
I don't normally speak out in those instances, but I was frustrated. Like, it was... hours. We'd been there for hours, and I was like, this is apparent. We are not going back down to the basement.
Right.
They're trying to wrap things up, and I want to get down there. So anyhow, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You got to get your ass down there. So we did. We went down to the basement.
And it was actually really good because everybody else stayed upstairs. So, like, all sound interference, like, that was all cut down. So everything we experienced down there, I feel like, was legit.
Right.
So before we get to the basement, did anybody feel anything in the kitchen, dining, or living room?
I did not.
I actually vaguely remember feeling something in the dining room with some dowsing rods. We were doing dowsing rods for quite some time, but I don't remember specifically what it was about, but I just remember getting responses on the dowsing rods. That was kind of my first experience with dowsing rods.
Same.
So.
Yeah. And one of the hardcores there, he did get...
Our hardcores are the people who are very intense, just FWI.
Yes. It's an FYI.
It's a joke because my coworker has always sent out emails to people saying, FWI. And I finally said, what is the W? And she said, it's for your... Oh, my God. I've been sending these out for years.
That's terrible.
So now I always say FWI.
One of the hardcores in my group did get a really cool EVP from the living room. That was pretty, like, you could hear it pretty well. But
when you were with your group?
No, like, playing, like, he was with our group, yes, but, like, when he played it back is when we all heard it. Like, I didn't hear it live when it was happening.
The only thing I got is, I mean, I didn't feel anything. We did a, with my group, we did a circle of trust, and I was really annoyed during it, but they got an EVP as well, and I also don't remember what it said.
Yeah.
But I did get some good orbs and anomalies in the living room area in Photograph.
Which we will upload to the Tipsy Guest at Facebook or Instagram.com.
Was that...
Not.com.
When you were... Because for some reason, I feel like we were all together.
No, not at that time.
Okay. No. Did we not go back to the living room together? Because I thought I was doing dowsing rods with you guys. No. Okay. I was by myself. Here I am. Don't remember anything.
No, ma'am.
So let's talk about the basement, because this was the coolest place.
Okay. Yeah. This has all been building up to this point. And honestly, we went back tonight and reviewed a lot of the audio messaging footage that we got tonight. And I got to say that I was like truly surprised when I heard it for a couple of reasons. Number one, I hadn't heard any of the responses. This was months ago, so I hadn't really thought about it since then. But I don't remember all of the responses that we got, but also I don't fully remember acting so panicked. I thought I felt cool, calm, and collected. And then I heard myself tonight and I was like, I sound like a panicked weirdo and I am so sorry. I don't know why, but like listening to myself talk, I don't recognize myself in these clips. I don't at all.
Yeah.
Kind of weirded me out.
And you were pretty anxious during it. I remember because I was sitting between you. I was sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
And you kept grabbing my hand and you were just so anxious throughout all of it. And kept squeezing my hand and kept like, and I feel like I feed off of other people's energies and so other people's feelings. And so like when you were getting anxious, I was getting anxious. Yeah. Even though I'm not sensing anything that you're sensing.
Yeah.
But I was just like, okay, she's getting worried. Maybe I should get worried.
Yeah. Well, which is weird. So let me, so a little bit of perspective, like when we went to Beatty Mansion, I could feel some things here and there. I'd be like, oh, this is kind of weird. But never once did I feel anxious.
Yeah.
To the point of... Sally House basement. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like we didn't really capture much there. And then listening tonight, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't recognize how I sounded.
Yeah.
I felt like a totally different person in that basement. So, although it's horribly cringy to hear yourself panic and talk like that, that was actually pretty legit. That's that basement,
it's legit. So a little background about the basement, when you come down the stairs, it's all unfinished, it's all like cement walls, cement floors, all of that. Right. It's pretty tiny, there's not a lot of room in there, but there's this big crawl space, and there was like two or three like just metal folding chairs that they had set up down there for the tour, and there's a pentagram that's on the floor as well. So you have this big pentagram that's on the floor of the cement, and then you have this huge crawl space as well. That's just, I mean, I've always said crawl spaces that look like you could hide a dead body in them or something like that. It's a very creepy place, haunted or not.
Right. It's so hard to explain if you haven't been there. I don't know. The pentagram, kind of speaking back to the history a little bit, supposedly the basement had been used in some satanic rituals.
Right.
Whether or not that's confirmed, I don't know, but I feel like a pentagram that is on the floor is pretty good evidence that it was probably used for something.
Yeah, you can see the distinct outline of what used to be a pentagram, and they have attempted to spray it over with black spray paint, and it's just worn down.
You can see it. It's still there. Yeah. I don't know how it's still there. It's
very unsettling to see.
Yeah.
And it's big. It's not like just a little dry. It's
definitely.
It's huge. It's a couple feet wide. And the crawl space that she's referring to, like, goes halfway down. So it comes from, you know, a foot down from the ceiling to about halfway down on the wall. So it's pretty big.
Yeah.
And goes pretty far back underneath the kitchen.
And you were sitting right next to the pentagram. You were the closest one to it.
Yes.
And I think, you know, we have some pictures as well that we'll upload of the pentagram. But we went down there and we didn't have any equipment. Really, except for our phones, and you had your camera, Boydson.
Yes.
Just recording. We didn't have dowsing rods. We didn't have anything. It's pitch black dark down there. We had our, you know, cell phones as flashlights, but that was it. And it didn't take long for you guys to start feeling some stuff.
No, not at all. I immediately started sensing kind of something, some weird going on. That, I mean, that's the best description that you can say. You're sitting in the dark, and we've done this multiple times. I've sat in the dark. You're sitting there talking to things that are maybe there, maybe not. But really, it doesn't that doesn't create enough environment on its own, just sitting in the dark talking, to have experiences, if you will. I don't know how else to explain it. But this was different. I felt immediately different. And I felt like, honestly, I felt like I was sitting in a chair surrounded by people staring at me, like just in a crowd of people. And I kept trying to express it. And I'm not the best at expressing with my words. So I kept saying, it's overwhelming. I'm feeling really overwhelmed. But that's exactly what it felt like. Yes. I felt like I was sitting there. And you can't do anything, but I felt like a crowd of people were staring at me. That's the best way to explain it.
You just kept saying there are so many of them.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. I've never felt like that before, ever, in all these places. But there was also a crawl space under the stairs, and I specifically remember looking over there and feeling like there was something under the crawl space area.
You said something was peeking at you.
Right. That doesn't feel good to have peeking.
Yeah.
Peeking things.
Right.
We all were kind of talking back and forth. Boydston had a few experiences, I feel like, too, with your hand being touched. And okay, Siri.
Why does my Siri pick up on, like, every time we record? Mm. It just said, hey. I'm like, Siri, no one is literally talking girl. To you right
what
now.
Up? What's up, girl? You feel my presence?
So, yeah, Sarah started experiencing that, I noticed that she was getting overwhelmed, and so I said, if anybody wants to come and stand by me and touch my hand, they're welcome to. And eventually I felt a coldness and cobwebby feeling on my right hand and arm, and that is usually how it's described, as when you're being touched by a ghost or a
yes.
spirit.
Yeah.
And so that was the feeling that I felt. We also picked up on I just did a voice memo on my iPhone, and we picked up a few things, but, we just briefly went through it tonight, and there was
multiple. 3, 4?
Yeah, there was one time when I said,
can you make a sound so we can hear it with our ears?
Yeah,
make a
sound, yeah.
Yeah, can you make a sound so we can hear it with our ears?
Versus other body parts.
Versus other body parts. And then right after that, you hear a distinct sound.
Can you make a noise that we can hear with our ears?
I heard that.
I heard that too. Thank you.
Sarah's talking, and then it's while she's overwhelmed and feeling anxious, and you can hear this moan or grumbling sound. And there are times where there is a sound, and at least the two of us, if not all three of us, react to it. So, and that's in the moment. It's not just on that voice recording. It's we're reacting in the moment. We all hear it at the same time.
Right.
Sorry if I scared you. There's energy here.
How many of you are there?
Multiple. I feel them all. I'm being bombarded. I'm being bombarded. There's multiple here. In front of me.
Does anybody want to come sit next to me? You can hold my hand, tap my shoulder. You can use my energy.
I'm overwhelmed. I heard it.
Did you hear that? Mm-hmm.
Hi there, me again. I'm going to insert a group of sound clips, and I have enhanced the audio so you guys can hear it the first go around, as opposed to rewinding it and trying to turn your volume up. It's just going to be a hassle for you. So I just made certain parts of the audio clips louder. That's all I did to it, just made it louder so you can hear it the first go around. And I hope you enjoy and maybe get a little spooked out, because just imagine the three of us in a basement alone.
Is there anything that you want to say to us?
So if you make a little noise, that's better.
Did you come here to visit?
We're going to be very cautious of the noises we hear. Because we heard a noise and a growl. And that's okay.
There's another noise to my right.
Okay, so this last one is my favorite piece of audio evidence that we collected the entire night. And I'll let you listen to it first.
Can you make another loud noise like you did earlier? Just to let us know that you're here.
Is that by you, Sarah?
Nope.
Yeah?
No.
No?
No.
Wasn't me either.
Oh, it wasn't you. Mm-mm.
Thank you.
But then I heard something else over here just a minute ago, like,
Or a growl.
Or a growl. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there's a growl in there, or so I thought. I enhanced it. So remember, that just means I made it louder. I did nothing else to it. And I caught an EVP, which, if you're not familiar with what an EVP is, it's an electronic voice phenomena. I will play the clip again with the enhanced audio. And within that growl, you can hear it's like they're responding to what our conversation is about, like, did you hear it? Did you not? And it's like a whisper saying, mm-hmm, yep. So here is that again.
Can you make another loud noise like you did earlier? Just to let us know that you're here.
Is that by you, Sarah?
Nope.
Yeah?
No.
No?
No.
Wasn't me either.
Oh, it wasn't you.
Yeah. Thank you.
But then I heard something else over here just a minute ago, like,
Or a growl.
Or a growl. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And everybody else is on the
second floor.
Second floor?
Yes.
Top floor?
Yes.
So they're pretty far away. And honestly, people do a pretty good job when they're trying to collect evidence and whatever of being quiet.
Yes.
And this was during that time. They were up there doing their own sessions.
I do remember while I was going through this footage when you guys weren't here, we eventually left the basement and then came back down for a second shorter session. And there was a moment whenever we were all talking about lights we were seeing close to the ceiling. And we all thought that, I don't know if it was on the ceiling or by something. Anyway, we all kept seeing a light and we were like, you know, who's got the flashlight? And Sarah's like, I mean, it's pointed at my leg. I mean, there's no way that I'm pointing it over there. And you can hear this conversation of all of us just talking about this light that we keep seeing. And all of us are saying, oh, I thought that was just you with the light, just like quickly flickering it.
It's probably those weird eyeball lights I was talking about in those pictures.
That you saw in the pictures? Yes.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, the three of us all saw it at different times. And you can hear the conversation of us coming back together like, oh, you're seeing this too. I thought it was just me. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I also picked up some photographic evidence, if you will.
Some good ones down there.
Yeah, whenever I first went down there, my first location or my first timeout session was in the basement, and I came down while my existing group was doing a dowsing rod and EMF, possibly an EVP session. I don't know. I came in late. I don't know what they were doing, but they had the dowsing rods and they had an EMF meter. And I just started snapping pictures because I was trying to stay out of the way. The first picture that I took that night has this lady's just sitting in a chair using the rods, and then down on the ground is the EMF meter, and there's just this white haze around her, And then coming from the EMF meter is this weird green light anomaly.
I feel like you're underplaying this. When I saw this picture, I was like, holy shit. I've never seen a picture like that. I mean, yeah. This anomaly that she's referring to extends for probably a foot.
And it's like neon bright, neon green.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
Again, we'll upload it to our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Whenever I took pictures into the crawl space, one of them I feel like looks like flames are coming up from the ground. Mm-hmm. But there's another one you guys can describe.
The shadow person. Yep. Oh, I don't know how we didn't see this before, but it literally looks like somebody stood up and they have their hand on their hip.
Yeah.
And it was just when us three were down there. This was a different time. So we were just snapping hundreds of pictures over and over, and most of them are nothing.
Right.
And this was something.
It's facing her, and he's taking up like the majority of the frame.
Yeah, probably like half of it at least.
It is like legit 1-2 feet in front of you.
Right.
That's how close it is.
It is really close. We both saw it tonight. As soon as we pulled up that picture, we were both like, shadow person, how do you not see this?
Right.
Whoa.
And there's no way that it could be me or Sarah because, I mean,
we were sitting in a chair.
And we're not in all black. Like, this isn't a black and white camera. Like,
no.
If we were standing in front of the camera, you would obviously be able to see it was us with our clothes and, you know, color and all that stuff.
Yes.
So it was very, I think that's the most unsettling picture I've seen.
Yes. I think most of the pictures that we caught were downstairs when it was just us three. Because I will say, everybody, when they broke off and wanted to do their own thing, like, people came and joined us when we were down there.
Right.
It changed the entire vibe down there.
It really did. And that's why I want to do some of our own investigations. Yeah. Maybe not with groups, but, you know, find places that'll just let us go.
Yeah. And nothing against anybody there, because honestly, they were fine. They were not hardcore, intense. They just came down.
There was not the hardcores like at the Beatty.
I just think that when you have so much energy and presence in a space that it almost scares things away.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I think that just the three of us down there, it set a totally different tone.
Right. And I'm sure that three women, and probably with the almost anxious energies that we have,
mine for
kind
sure.
of made us
I was super anxious.
More open
Yay.
At that time to experience things.
Right.
And so we were bound to have more,
right?
More things happen.
So in conclusion, basically, Sally House is legit, but I think it kind of picks and chooses when it wants to be. Like, most of the time it was just a house.
Yes.
Most of the time it's just a tiny little house with a bunch of people in there.
After looking through the history and after experiencing it, you know, sitting near the pentagram, being with you when you had your experience as Sarah.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if it's less, you know, nice spiritual and more of a negative demonic
100%
energy.
Because like I keep saying, I don't actually remember talking like that. That makes me nervous. Like, I don't remember being so panicked. I thought I was fine. I thought everything was fine. Yeah. I remember hearing a few things here and there in the basement, but when I hear myself talking, I did not sound okay. I sounded worried, and I have never been like that.
Yeah.
On any other thing. So Sally House is legit. The basement is messed up.
Yeah,
definitely.
Basement's where it's at. So fight your way down there. That's what I'm trying to say. Call them out. Make them take you to the basement.
Throw us some elbows.
Or just go down there.
or just get up and walk down there and be like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom and then just go down to the basement.
Just go down the basement.
Worth it.
But maybe have a friend with you because I'd never recommend doing anything solo like that.
No.
Oh, definitely not there. Not there. That place will go down in history for sure.
Absolutely.
It was wild.
This is one of the best ones so far.
Bucket list.
For Check. Sure.
Nailed it.
All right.
Anyhow, I think that's it. That concludes our Sally episode.
Yeah.
All right.
Sally girl, you did it.
Thank you, Sally.
You the best. Although I think Sally's actually a demon. I meant to interject that. earlier.
Yeah.
I think Sally's not a real kid. I think Sally's actually a demon.
Well, and I think a lot of times, sometimes with, so I'm a believer in demonic activity, and I think they manipulate with child spirits and child toys and all the stuff we heard about with manipulating the toys and the nursery and the babies. And
to draw you in and so you're comfortable and open.
Yes. Right. Yes. This is not, it's not.
So they can take advantage. Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Sally's house is dark. Yeah. It's dark.
Yeah, it is. So I did not get good feelings there either.
Proceed with caution.
Yeah. Proceed with caution. Anyhow, that's it for Sally House. That's a wrap.
Yes.
Wow.
Where should they find us?
That was a doozy.
They should find us at The Tipsy Ghost on Instagram and Facebook, where you will find pictures of the Sally House location.
Got it.
And you can always email us at thetipsyghost@gmail.com.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yep. All right.
We'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.